And today with us, we have licensed addiction counselor Rob DeGolyer. Hi, Rob.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. Good to have you with us today.
Thank you.
I'd love to know how you got to a point where you are a licensed addiction counselor.
Well, I don't think it's any secret that a lot of people that go into this field have had similar issues to the kind of issues we're trying to treat. So my story isn't too unlike that. I grew up having some addiction issues of my own, some substance abuse issues. And when I finally found freedom from that, I just wanted to help others with the same issues.
I like the way you said that. You found freedom.
Yeah. And that's exactly what it is. Addiction is something that it takes you prisoner. That's about the only way I can describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. And how in the world did you get out of a cycle like that?
Well, for me, it boiled down to needing to change everything in my life. And the way I went about doing that, you know, I took advantage of some of the self-help groups around and just basically changed my entire environment. You know, I started making new friends, new supports. And just, I guess the big thing was I finally became open to trying to learn how to live differently, trying to learn how to think differently.
How old were you when you were going through all this?
Well, my use started as a child. My first time I can remember getting high, well, I was at 11 years old.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And as time went, that escalated into, you know, more significant use, harder drugs. And by the time I quit, I was 32.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So that would have taken a real major commitment on your part to say, hey, I'm done with this.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I just, you know, you often hear the term hitting bottom, and that's basically what happened to me.
So. Oh, my gosh. Well, it's amazing to see what you've done with your life since then, and congratulations for all making all that happen.
Thank you. I appreciate all that. Right.
So, Rob, talk with us a bit about cross-addiction.
Cross-addiction is a really interesting thing to talk about. And I guess the best way I could explain that is to just kind of give you an example of what it looks like. A lot of people think that addiction is just about the substance use. And if you quit using the substance, you should be fine. And anybody that struggles with addiction knows that's not true. Recovery is really about changing how you think, how you live, how you interact with the world. And the stopping the use is simply the first part of that. You have to stop using to learn how to live differently. Cross addiction happens when somebody is able to stop using the substance that's causing them problems, but they don't ever find a good program of recovery. And what they do is they substitute that drug with another drug, or not necessarily a drug, it can also be a behavior, but they substitute that addiction for another addiction.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so, when you say a recovery program, you're talking about kind of a whole health kind of a thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. Body, mind, and spirit, you know, learning how to live differently, learning how to treat yourself differently, learning how to interact with the world differently.
Well, now, how in the world do you, as a counselor, you've got your own experience, but you've got to have some professional training to help other people through this.
Oh, absolutely. There's quite a bit to it. You know, as you know, people typically don't want to just wake up one day and change everything they know about themselves or change the way they live. You know, it's a pretty big thing to ask. Mm-hmm. So it usually takes some significant insight to want to do that. And in order to do that, you know, I think it's important to have somebody that's trained in doing that, you know, helping people do that.
So I guess my question to you, Rob, is how did you get trained to do that?
Well, for me, first I took care of myself. I got sober and I started learning how to live differently. And then I signed up for college, which was something I thought I would never do, you know, when I was
at 32 years
yeah,
old.
Yeah, at 32 years old, you know, I was somebody that never even finished high school. And at some point in my life, thank God I did go back and get a GED. So I was able to enter college. But I found after being sober for a while, the way I wanted to live changed. I started having these goals that I never had before. I started wanting to do things that I thought I would never want to do. And that was actually one of them, you know, going back to school.
Mm-hmm. So you actually went back and got degrees.
Yeah, correct. I went back. Initially, I ended up with an Associate of Applied Science degree, and I did a couple of internships here locally, and I entered the field. And then after I was a counselor for a few years, I went back to college part-time and ended up achieving my bachelor degree.
And that's where you are today?
Correct.
Yeah. I would imagine it's a lot of work making all that happen. And when you're in your 30s, you got other responsibilities too.
Yeah, it is, but it's worth it. You know, I think when somebody goes through a struggle like that, and once you realize that there is help available, you can't help but want to share that with other people, because when somebody's in the grips of addiction, it seems very hopeless. It seems like nobody ever quits. It seems like it's not possible. And the fact is, it is possible.
So we'll take a quick break here, but what I want to talk about is how in the world you can help somebody get out of an addiction, get into a new life, as you said, freedom.
Sure.
From it. Let's do that right after this.
Great.
Our guest today is licensed addiction counselor, Rob DeGolier. Rob, how did you get the license to do this?
Well, as I said, I went through a specific program for the addiction field, and I ended up doing a couple of internships, and I was hired at a local clinic after that, and my status was license eligible at that point, so I did a lot of work. I wasn't licensed yet, but I was being supervised. And I can't remember how many hours it was now. It was so long ago. But I did quite a few hours supervised, and then I ended up taking a test with the state, and here we are.
So you really have to know your stuff to get the license.
Absolutely.
That's the point. All right. Now, we've kind of talked about what cross-addiction is.
Yeah.
How do you counsel somebody out of that mess?
Well, it can be hard a lot of times. I think one of the key pieces is educating them to where if that does start happening, they're aware of it. Because a lot of people won't realize they're even falling into the trap. Mm-hmm. One of the things I didn't go into on the first segment was cross-addiction can be a lot of things. It doesn't have to be another substance. Oftentimes you'll see somebody that might quit doing meth, but they start drinking a lot. It can also be a behavior. There's a lot of behavioral addictions, and we actually call those process addictions. There's gambling, there's overeating, there's, you know, exercise, overworking. All those things can be addictions. And it's real easy for somebody to replace one addiction with one of those behaviors.
So. Mm-hmm. And again, I guess what I'm trying to do is give people this kind of a notion of what they have to go through to get, well, to get to where you've gotten.
Sure. There's a lot of different routes. I probably, from my experience, I think the most popular mode of recovery people tend to jump into is what we'd call spiritual growth. Mm-hmm. And you see that a lot in AA. You see it a lot in any kind of 12-step program. You see it a lot in different professional treatment programs. And it's about learning how to think differently, learning how to live differently, getting out of yourself and trying to be a part of the world in a positive way. And all that is a big part of that. You know, it's often referred to as spiritual growth. A lot of people aren't very open-minded to that. A lot of people aren't real keen on religion and stuff. And there are other kinds of programs that work for them too. One of the most popular would be cognitive behavioral therapy, which is a way to examine your thoughts and to understand how your thoughts are causing you to act or feel a certain way, and learning how to replace those thoughts with healthier thoughts.
It must take a while.
It does, yeah. Yeah.
Seriously, it must take a while. How long do you usually have to spend with a client in order to get from the beginning of that process to the end of it?
Well, I don't like to think there is an end. We just get to a point where, you know, eventually we feel they're ready to kind of go at it on their own and build their own support network outside of the treatment. But it's, I would say, if I was going to put an average time frame, 6 months to a year.
That quickly?
Yeah.
That amazes me, because all the difficulty you've talked about here, it seems like it would take years.
Well, the recovery does take years. I'm just talking about being in the actual professional treatment program.
Okay.
What we try to do is get people ready to step out into the world with their own support and to continue what they learn in treatment.
If you could give me a success, what kind of a success ratio do you have with a program like this?
You know, I hate doing that, and I'll tell you why. Because if you look at overall numbers that come into treatment, a lot of people don't want to be there. A lot of people are told they have to, or they're going to go to jail, and they have no desire to quit.
Mm-hmm.
So if they just complete the program and you follow up 6 months or a year later, of course they're not going to be sober, but they never wanted to be.
Yeah.
But even a lot of those people do turn it around while they're in treatment, which I think is very exciting to think about.
So you can beat this thing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But I mean, the average person who's really deep into this thing can actually beat it.
Yes, it can. Yeah.
Yeah, but it takes a commitment, doesn't it? It
takes a commitment, and it takes ongoing work. You know, it's never it's a daily thing. You wake up every day, and you make a commitment to staying sober each and every day.
Now, I want to ask you quickly about meth, and we'll talk about those specific drugs later in future episodes here. But
sure.
They say that once you've taken meth, you can never get off of it again. Is that true?
Well, I'll say more than what I normally say, that was my drug of choice, and I just celebrated 20 years in January, so I would say it's absolutely not true.
Okay.
It's not easy, but you definitely can. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What is it that made you want to use meth in the first place, or keep using it? Maybe that's a better way to put it.
Boy, I've thought about that a lot, and all I know for my own history is a lot of it, you know, I got into it when I was young, so part of it was wanting to fit in with the cool crowd. But there was something about it, and looking back, you know, I actually have depression too, and I think there was a piece of that where I was self-medicating, because I know when I did it, all of a sudden I felt good, and I felt I had energy, I was social. And that's what got me into it, to where I wanted to keep doing it. But I know there was a time where it crossed the line from just using it to having to have it. And at that point, it became more about just being able to make it through the day. Mm-hmm. If I didn't have it, I couldn't stay awake for the day. If I didn't have it, I couldn't function. So it went from being something that just made me feel better to something I had to have to function.
Well, that's an episode we're going to talk with in another time.
Sure.
And maybe some of the more specific things that you work with, the types of addiction and how you're able to get people out of that. And what was the term you used? Freedom?
Freedom. Yep.
Freedom.
I think that's the best word to describe it.
All right. Rob DeGolier, as always, thank you so much.
You bet. Thanks for having me.